I am unashamed. What about you?
Dace, we got Zach. He's zooming in from North Carolina.
Even though you can only see half of his head, I know what that is. It's a duck. So
it is a duck.
I guess today we're going to talk about the difference in physical and spiritual, because I have that same duck in my head, but you can't see
it. And I got it on my
head. there's a big difference in and on.
Zach's beard's looking full, too, like mine. You kind of...
It's coming in.
Are you putting Just for Men in that, or are you still not graying yet?
It's all natural.
Well, I got to ask you, what was the decor designer's thought? Were you trying to get the state of North Carolina over your left shoulder on the wall? Was that an attempt?
That's a piece of 120-year-old plaster that's left on the brick wall. Rest of it's...
Okay. Well, I feel better because I was going to say North Carolina doesn't look that way unless you've got it. You need to turn it.
But Zach's like our restoration office, there's like a historical building. Like it's been there for how long, Zach? Okay. Like 200 years or something?
It's old. I don't know. It's well over, in the 1800s, late 1800s.
It's really cool when you walk in there because there's like these, it's upstairs and it just looks like an, you know, there's little offices there, but it's kind of, it's really a cool, I don't know what you call it.
It was an old boarding house back in the day.
Right. It looks like a hotel. That's what I thought, like an old hotel.
Yeah.
Is what it reminded me of.
Well, are we in trouble? I mean, I feel like when you show up, you may have the pulse of Unashamed Nation. Are you cleaning up our messes?
Zach is the one. Zach and the crew in North Carolina are the ones that get most of your feedback. You know, some of it gets to us, but a lot of you guys are when you get it. So we're always...
That's all been good.
We thought we might have messed up on that the Capitol episode.
I actually think that episode did very well because I think people are looking for an answer, and you're not going to find the answer in this political turmoil. The answer is Jesus. I mean, so I think what you got. I listened to the podcast. I thought it was great, and I think it's time. Such a time as this.
Just a little tune up on it. The final word on it, I guess. Maybe not.
This may be the first.
Here we go. Fall. Phil's been thinking about this.
Yeah, I have. 2 Timothy chapter 2. An apostle is training a young evangelist, and one of the things he told him, Timothy, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus.
Uh-oh.
No one serving as a soldier in the kingdom of God gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. No. Our commanding officer is neither Donald Trump nor Joe Biden. They're not our commanding officer.
Now, I like this.
Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules, kingdom rules, godly rules. The hardworking farmer should be first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember, and here's where we are, as we operate on planet Earth as the kingdom within a constitutional republic, or a socialist country, or a communist country. It doesn't make any difference. We operate the same. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. Now listen, for which I'm suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. It's worse than censorship. Always sick of hearing them try to shut them up. Everybody needs to remember something. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of elect. But God's word is not chained. They can't stop it. They've been trying to stop it, the forces of evil, for 2,000 years to no avail. The kingdom still marches forward, whether it's the brothers in China, the ones in North Korea, Venezuela, wherever we are, U.S., I mean, they're trying to compare, you know, we're going to burn the White House down. Well, the White House represents a constitutional republic. That's a far cry from old King George over there when he, if it was his house, okay, burn it down. But our house, no. That's my take.
I'm glad, look, I'm glad you said that, because look, every store that I've been in and gas station in the last 2 or 3 days, I have heard, because I guess a lot of people listen to that podcast. Oh, yeah. Now, there were some that said, hey, you know, Jesus is Lord, 2021. I thought, okay. But there were far more that were like, now what are you saying? Because, and then they would give me this conspiracy theory about what's fixed to happen and the tyranny, and they were telling, that's why they were at the gas station,
yep,
you know, loading up. And I said, well, where did you hear this from? And you know what the number one answer was? Facebook. I said, well, let me tell you.
Where do you find in the Word of God where Jesus Christ said, if you don't like the way the government's running, burn it down. Revolt and burn it down. I don't find that text in the Bible.
That's right.
Well, I tell you what you do find in the Bible is this prophecy from Isaiah, or a word that the Lord gave to Isaiah in Isaiah 8. Listen to this. For thus the Lord spoke to me with a mighty power and instructed me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, you are not to say it's a conspiracy in regard that all this people calls a conspiracy, and you are not to fear what they fear or be in dread of it. It is the Lord of hosts whom you should regard as holy, and he shall be your fear, and he shall be your dread, and then he will become your sanctuary.
Amen to that. We're saying.
Where was that? Isaiah what?
Isaiah 8. I know that's not popular right now because there's an obsession with being a patriot, but first and foremost, I'm a member of the kingdom of God. And it's, this is not what we're talking about right here is not a popular message right now, but I believe it is a message from God for such a time as this. I'm glad you guys are talking like this.
Well, you know? Look, Zach, it's hard not to when I'm getting a text from people that I've known for 30 years saying, look, stock up on milk. You're not going to have the internet. You know, fill your truck up with gas. I got that text, which the first thought I thought was, what about water and toilet paper? But anyway, but I just responded back, I'm in a spiritual war. Of course, I didn't get a response back, and I was referring to Ephesians 6. I didn't know you were going to read that. I don't even know if I had read that. You know, Isaiah was tough out when we were in school.
Yeah.
But I was going to read Ephesians 6:10, but it said the same phraseology as you did. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Because people say, we are just weak, little weak Christians. And, you know, Paul wrote a letter to the Romans, and they considered love and sharing Jesus as weakness. They locked him up. And you get the book of Revelation, and you think, well, why do y'all think that is victorious when basically it was a vision saying all you Christians are going to die? Well, where's the victory in that? And that's the point I'm trying to say to my conspiracy-loving brothers that I love is that, look, what we're in on in Jesus has the power to change hearts and minds. It changes eternal destiny. It's a power that's way beyond who's in charge of the governments that Romans 12 and 13 says that God instituted anyway.
That's correct.
And you say, well, we got to make this wrong right. He addresses that too. When he said, leave room for God's wrath. You know, that whole section about, where's that at?
Romans 12.
Romans 12 at the end. That's right. What it says.
Well, and I think our position has been consistent. We were saying the same thing a little later than this last year about coronavirus. I mean, all along, people are panicking. They're going crazy. We're all going to die. It's just going to be terrible. And we were saying, look, yeah, some people are going to die. Some of us are going to get it. You got it.
Yeah, I got it.
You're going to get sick.
I mean, look,
what I'm saying is, did you ever just think, oh, my word, no. What's happening?
Hey, back to Romans 12. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Don't burn the thing down like we've been watching the last 6 months before the election anyway. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Don't take revenge. Leave room for God's wrath. It's written. It's mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Be good to them, but point them all to Jesus. It's not a political fix here.
Nope.
It's a spiritual fix. Unless there's a mass repentance, I've said very often, and a turning to God, it will get worse, no matter who's in charge.
And I don't know about y'all, but this hasn't changed my support that I've had for 4 years for Trump.
I voted for Donald Trump, and because of his policies, I said he's the best man for the job.
That's exactly right.
I preached the gospel to him. I pointed him to Jesus like all the rest of them I've met. Well, here we are now. And you say, well, let's all just burn it all down. I said, yeah, that's a great idea.
Well, no. We've said all along that we didn't – his rhetoric has never been my favorite. I mean, in the way he conducts himself sometimes, especially with other Republicans. So that's been consistent. So, I mean, but these people that now are the cancel culture, they're like, oh, we've never liked it. You know, they're just
running the
other way.
Oh, they've gone so far now. I mean, now you got the president-elect. He's like, his big deal is he's going to unify the country. But then in every speech I've heard, he's basically
– more division.
he's embellished what happened.
Right.
By saying, oh, he was never fit for office. Oh, I told you the whole time. And yeah. – You know, and I'm like, well, what happened to this? We're bringing everybody together. He did nothing where he deserves to be in a psych.
Well, the first speech, Jace, he and Harris both did, tried to bring race into it. They were like, what if it's a big meal? You know.
And look, now, I mean,
you talk about device. They want, let's get back on that train. Let's start burning down cities again.
So now they're like, oh, no, we got to impeach him with, you know, a week left.
Yeah, that's smart.
It's going to take that long to even start the process, but they can't help it because of what happened. They're just using it from a political angle to somehow thwart him from ever running again.
Right. They want to crush him.
So that's why we look, I answered one of the, I don't know how y'all forwarded me an email or something. It was a legitimate, I thought, question. And so I answered it. But it was basically like, where's the Christian's role in fighting tyranny among Christians? And I read that Ephesians 6. I was like, look, it's not that I do not love America. It's not that I don't see your point about, you know, the direction of the country. And, you know, I voted for Trump just like you did. It's all about how. How the fight, because he kept talking about the fight. How do we fight this? I'm like, I got Ephesians 6. It's a spiritual fight. It's a spiritual. He said, you want to fight? Here's your armor. And you read every one of those things. That's how I plan on fighting, which was the same way before all
elected
this happened.
Officials, whether by hook or crook, they cannot remove your sin, Al. None of them can. And they can't raise you from the dead.
Right.
Unless you can do those two things, I'm not bowing down to you, ever.
Correct.
Jesus and Jesus alone, he's our king all the time, forevermore.
And therefore, I said that this summer when people were kneeling in front of other people. I said, I bow for no man.
That's right.
I bow the knee to Christ. Hang on, Zach. Let's take a break. So, Zach, you don't have to worry about this, but there's no country for old men at the table here. We got a lot of pain going on. Inflammation, pain.
I'm getting there. I'm 43 today.
That's right. I forgot it was your birthday. Happy birthday. I had mine last week, 56, by the way. So one of our favorite sponsors, especially for Dad and I, because we've been taking Omega XL for several months, almost a year now, and it's made a big difference for me because, you know, I don't know. I seem to have all the hurts and aches and pains and was doing way too much ibuprofen. I don't take any anymore, which is a great blessing. So if you got some aches and pains that's caused by inflammation, you need to check these guys out. You go to Omega XL. and you buy your first bottle, you get your second bottle free, which is awesome just for being a listener. So OmegaXL.com/Phil, OmegaXL.com/Phil, or you can give them a call, 800-844-4888. That's 800-844-4888. Get rid of the pain. Get rid of the inflammation. All right.
Yeah. It's the same argument that we would have had, you know, 6 months ago or 3 months ago, the same argument that we would have made for why the Portland riots were immoral, why we would reject critical race theory and this idea that I'm guilty for somebody else's sin. And it's the same argument that we would use today, that you can't tie your identity to your race. Yep. You can't tie your identity to your nationality. You can't tie your identity to that you're an American. Like, if you're a believer, you can't. You know, our identity is rooted in number one, the fact that we're made in God's image, Genesis 1:26. So we're all our common anthropology is that we're all members of the race that God made. Number two, we've all sinned and fallen short of his glory. That's our commonality. And then three, we can have the potential of being in relationship with him if we repent and turn to Jesus. I just believe that what people are trying to bypass with all of this stuff, they're trying to bypass that one word that we all want to avoid, and that word is repentance.
Yep.
You want to see the nation healed, it's going to take repentance, and nobody wants to repent, including myself. I mean, we all struggle with that, but I think that's the roadblock.
Well, and to Jason's point, I like that, the idea of how you fight, because it's a war of convincing people. I mean, that's what we do with the gospel. You remember in the Middle Ages, I mean, Christianity, some people had this idea that we would just go in and conquer nations and then force them to become Christians. With that didn't work out well at all.
Nope.
Because it's about convincing people. So that's why
the volunteer force.
It's a volunteer force. It's a war of ideas. Yeah. I mean, that's the main thing. Yeah. You got to convince a person in their heart to what Zach said, I have to want this. I can't just go out and we line up with shotguns across a field and say, you're gonna become a Christian, you're going to become godly, but or else. I mean, you can't do that.
What happens when you get off the big picture, which is Jesus, the spiritual warfare that goes on every day that we're all a part of? When you lose sight of that, you start thinking, okay, now we've been done wrong here, so let's storm the Capitol. And I'm like, if I wanted to go down that road, I can think of some better ideas. How about let's organize and move people to Georgia, Wisconsin, Arizona. Just move them en masse. Let's all have some meetings peacefully and say who's going where. All right, let's try this.
We're gonna ship some rednecks.
Now, if we still, you know, and let's
take it from California. You got to take it from California because we're gonna lose that anyway.
Well, a third of them, yeah, are in California is conservative.
If Republicans
take up. I mean, I'm just saying, I have some ideas on how you can take it back. You know, they're like, oh no, well they're cheated. Okay, there might have been some, but it looked like a close race that we lost. And 4 years ago, it looked like a close race that we won. That's what it looked like to me. Now, I don't read Facebook, so I don't know the conspiracy theories, but I got a picture on my phone from a buddy of mine. He said, hey, and it said something like, who knew Duck Dynasty and Chewbacca take over the Capitol? And I just looked at the picture, and there were some of these, you know, patriots. Okay, but
they look like
a lot
us.
Of people say, hey, you defend these patriots. It looked like some kind of Duck Dynasty frat party gone wrong. It's what the picture looked. They were standing there. Guy had horns on his head. My first impression was, okay, that you went a little too far. But people were like, well, no. I mean, and they started to get into the political thing. But I'm saying maybe it was, but it just seemed like they were mad, and they got whipped up and said, hey, we're taking the Capitol. And there was, you know, a few hundred thousand people. That's what it seemed like to me. And I'm on Trump's side.
Right.
But, I mean, that's my opinion. Because I haven't given it too much thought because I'm looking at the more weighty matters.
Right.
I mean, it's like what Phil read. This is not my commanding officer. When I read what Jesus did and how he operated – it may come across as weak. He may seem like he didn't have anything. He was a bit sheepish. He died in the end. Oh, wait. But then he come back. So that one move pretty much made the, you know, you're acting like the verse says sheep to be slaughtered is so weak to people that it nauseates them. But you know, that's the hand we're dealt, because we don't live for this life. Some things you trust God, but in practical ways on how to do things from a political perspective, look, I'm open.
It is interesting that the Bible refers to Jesus as the lion, but us as sheep.
Yeah,
I mean, there is a mindset there about that. You know,
but you've heard,
because everybody
argument.
Wants to be a lion.
You've heard the argument. People are like, well, you're just weak-kneed Christians. The Apostle, you don't fall.
The Apostle Paul, finally, at the end of Jesus being our commanding officer, said, here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, speaking of your new birth, we'll also live with him. If we endure the kind of junk you see going on now and before this, we'll also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. You never put anything, including governments, ahead of Christ Jesus. If we're faithless, you say, boy, we're done. He'll remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Now, that right there is the one I want to follow, literally, till they put my body in the grave and my departure to go be with God. So that's the hope we have. I'm not budging on it. And to say governments of men can somehow take the place of that is nonsense.
Well, and even these even these tech oligarchs out in, you know, California, they're going to try to suppress, but you can't stop. We're unstoppable. They've been trying to suppress the good news. I mean, think about what we're talking about in the book of Acts. These boys not only had, they had the Roman overlords, but then they had Jewish overlords. They were doubled down.
And no one would have said, yeah, they'll pull it off.
Yeah.
Started with 12
guys.
Handpicked men in a low-tech world and with living daily under tyrants. The Roman Empire was a rough bunch. And look what came out of all that. Wonder what ever happened to the Roman Empire. But the kingdom of God is still here.
That's right.
So,
and look, Zach and I have been talking about this. They may try to shut us down. There's probably going to come a day when we may have to do something else or find another place. But God's going to provide that. Don't you think so, yeah. Zach?
Right now, the Romans are making great shotguns. We shoot them Benelli's, and they're making pretty good peaches. Other than that, I just don't see the empire status like it was 2,000 years ago. Well,
things change.
We got to remember. Kingdom people, that we do belong to a kingdom that cannot be shaken nor destroyed. Like we forget that. And I think another thing that we're forgetting in this is the very nature of Christ. Al, you mentioned that he was a lion and we're the sheep. But it reminded me of that passage in Revelation 5 where John is weeping because there's no one worthy to open the scroll. And the elder came up and put his hand on him and said, don't be afraid. Behold, the lion from the tribe of Judah. And when I first read that, I got that picture of Aslan from Narnia, you know, this big lion. But John says when he turned around to see this lion from the tribe of Judah, he said, I saw a lamb that looked as though it had been slain. So Christ is a lion by nature, but he chose to take on the form of a lamb and humbled himself and became obedient to death. I don't know how we get around Philippians chapter 2. And what I'm seeing happening in some of this nationalistic movement is that good, godly men and women are forgetting the very foundation of what Christ did for us. We need to have that humble spirit. I know it's not popular. I don't even like to hear it. It's offensive.
By the way, I would
much rather fight.
By the way, Zach, and a good point to interject in what you're saying right there, there is a difference. You can be conservative but not a Christian. But you can't be, you can't claim Jesus and you live like the devil. So, in other words, someone said, well, if you're a conservative, you're automatically a good, godly person. Not true.
No, not true.
There's a lot of people who are conservatives who don't even put their faith in Jesus, Zach. You see what I'm
Francis
saying?
Francis Schaeffer said at Liberty, he said, conservative humanism is still humanism.
That's right.
And we got to remember that we're not conservatives first. We're Christians first, and our conservative understanding of things flows from that, not the other way around.
That's why I overlook the character or the way, you know, Trump would speak, because those policies, the more they line up with what lines up with God Almighty, well, that's who I'm going to vote for.
Yep. Let's take another break. Zach, do you know where your home title is?
I do not know the answer to that question.
Do you have a home?
He has a home.
I have a home.
I didn't know if you were in it yet.
I guess the bank has my title. I don't know.
Well, that's a great question, right? Because you think, I mean, just sitting around, is it in a safe somewhere? Who has it? So basically, whoever makes your loan has your home title. The problem is that now we got these hackers, and especially with so many people on the computer now, they're hacking in, they're stealing your title, they're putting their name on it, borrow a bunch of money, then your house gets foreclosed, they show up and kick you out of your own house. This happened a lot, which is unbelievable that it's even possible, right? So yeah. It's for real. So we got a great company, Home Title Lock, which basically can go in and secure digitally your title. So you go to HometitleLock.com, register your address, make sure you still have your house. Use the code RADIO, and you're going to get 30 days of free protection. That's HometitleLock.com, code RADIO.
But in the end, our guy lost. I hate it, but the bigger
Those are all pragmatic things that are not going to really change anything. Ultimately, the issue is that the American culture and the fabric of our society does not believe in the imago Dei, that man's made in the image of God. We don't believe that as a country. So this whole system is, if you build a system on a certain idea, and then the majority of people that are under that system no longer believe that idea, then the system that's built on top of it doesn't work. And that's why Donald Trump is not our answer, because or the Republican Party or whatever it is. We have a rotten foundation now. I mean, that is and no one wants to hear that, because what that means is the answer is not going to come from cutting the head of the snake off. And no, everything's good now. The answer is going to come from Zach Dasher and Phil Robertson and Jace Rock, me putting my hand on a person that I know and telling them about the sovereign King Jesus Christ who died for them. And it starts there.
Amen.
And that's a lot more work, and I have no control over the outcome.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people don't want this. And I'll add one more point, too, that kingdom people do not have to choose between socialism and nationalism. We don't have to choose between those two things. We choose the kingdom. We seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Mm-hmm. And then all the other things are added unto us. What we seek first is kingdom. And I think that's what we're missing.
If you had the majority of our country believe in that, Zach, and which is our job to convince them, it's the church's job to convince them of what Zach just said, then you can change it from the bottom up. You know, but you're right. I mean, one of the things you got to realize is so many of these people are so happy, conservatives too, or Republicans, I should say, that Biden's back in, because it's back to business as usual. It's about money, making money. It's about having the machine. Look, they've been doing this thing. This rotten systems I was talking about, it's been going on for quite a while.
Oh.
No matter who was sitting in the big chair. And Trump was a disruptor, no doubt about it. But I agree with everything we said. He's not a savior.
No.
He's a guy from New York that you shared the gospel with, yet hopefully that'll change his life, you know, forever. Yep. So that's how you do it.
Yeah. Look, you just can't get wrapped up in conspiracy theories and things you're reading on the internet to where you're actually functioning in a spirit of panic over who's in the White House.
Yeah, or controlling Congress or whatever.
No, it's not just panic. It's a spirit of deceit. You know, these
are Jesus-loving people who all of a sudden are like,
well, here's what it is, though. These conspiracy theories are informational Ponzi schemes. That's what they are, and they haven't delivered. They're like all these crazy predictions and QAnon, and I mean the stuff's just, they haven't delivered on the evidence, and they really haven't. And God's people have to be about truth over fear. Like, I can't abdicate the truth and say just because I want this to be true, because I don't want where we're headed. I don't like it either. Our whole business is tied up in technology. And it's very likely that this podcast, along with some other things I'm working on, will be censored. It's very possible that I'll lose all my income. So I'm all in. Like, I'm going to lose a lot with what's going on. But I can't abdicate my commitment to the truth in the process because I'm fearful. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and Zach, you know, to a practical point, I blame a lot of this during this, since the election until right up just recently, you had a lot of surrogates that were supposedly digging into it, you know, attorneys, and they were going public with information that they said was true, but there was never any proof of the evidence. Nobody said, here's where it is. So I think it confused people to a great degree, which is what you're talking about, Des. I mean,
yeah.
Once confused, and once you're going into this, there's no doubt about it, then you'll go to panic mode.
Do you know how many times I've either texted or said vocally, I'm just going to share Jesus. I'm riding with King Jesus. I'm going with Jesus. That's what I've done since this happened.
And think about it, Jace.
We have a conversation. Oh, no, I'm like, yeah. I'm going to go with Jesus.
So what if some wicked government comes along and they're knocking on our door right now? You say, what if they come along and they get out and burn all the church buildings, Zach? Burn them all. Anything with a steeple on it. The French Revolution, that's what they did.
They said,
oh, we're going to do away with all of it.
Well,
Jesus is still here. God's still in control. And you say, well, what, if they go down there and they burn the church building down, Al, is that going to change your mode of operandi?
Well, first I would be thrilled because our building is an old monstrosity that I've told all of the staff, if this thing ever catches on fire and somebody calls the fire department, you're fired.
Yeah.
So I would love to go underground.
I have to tell this story. Al knows about it. When I was working with Missy, being the worship team members, which is something I probably shouldn't have said, but I said, look, now what we're going to do is probably going to make a lot of the members uncomfortable. And so one of the leaders said, well, I mean, Jace, how radical would you go? Well, the way he phrased that question, when he said, how radical would you go? I said, as in burn the building. That probably was
a little too far.
Too far, but I was trying to make a point.
And I'm kidding, by the way. Don't
we became so ritualistic that I thought you can't snuff the church out.
Where
by
two
that.
Or three yeah. are gathered in my name, I will be there, Jesus said. That's enough for me, right?
I think
there.
We offend somebody every time we say this, but Acts 17 is in the book. God, the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples, buildings built by human hands.
Right.
He doesn't live.
And he also doesn't live in 501c tax structures. He doesn't live in our organizational.
I don't
tax
know
structures.
What that is.
Hang on a second. Let's take a break.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Now explain to Jace what that is.
A 501c3 is a nonprofit that most churches have filed as for tax purposes. That's why you're able to donate to the church. And you get your tax read. But even that.
Jace thought was a character on Star Wars.
I had no idea. I thought I owed somebody some money.
By the way, they're going to axe that. Whatever you just said, they'll axe that. They'll get rid of that.
Well, they've been using that for a long time to hold it over pastors, too, to not speak truth from the pulpit.
That's right.
For things. Because, like, we'll take away your status. You can't talk about this. You can't talk about that.
Yeah.
I said this recently before the election. I was like, here's why I'm voting for Trump. I would never tell you who to vote for. That's not my job. That's your job. You're an American. But here's why I'm voting for it. And I made my case. And years ago, I was bullied not to do that from the pulpit. But I thought to myself, no more. You know, one is I'm not being paid, so I'm volunteering anyway.
Yep.
But why would I do that? Take this tax status away.
Yep.
This isn't about money.
Ultimately,
for me.
Yeah. I mean, we remember that when the controversy happened in Duck Dynasty. They're like, oh, we're going to take away all your sponsors because you quoted a verse when asked about homosexuality. You quoted a Bible verse, which they didn't know was a verse. But I just remember Phil's response. He said, oh, all the sponsors are leaving. Phil's like, okay. I mean, you don't make a spiritual decision based on some kind of financial fear hungry. And people say, well, that's easy for you to say. You got plenty. Well, when we didn't, it didn't affect me one way or another.
And many, 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 many corporations that were lined up because of our popularity to make money off of us backed right away from that table.
Yep.
And millions Phil, and millions lost. But we'd do it again.
How many times did people tell you when you invented Duck Commander and you were going around, they said, if you keep giving that testimony or whatever they called it after your duck call seminar, it's going to hurt your business.
Hundreds and hundreds.
Over and over.
It's going to hurt your business.
They said the same thing to me until, you know, we became known. They were like, well, you know, because you're alienating people. That's going to hurt your business.
Yeah.
I thought, well, you've got this backwards. My business is to share Jesus. This duck call thing, that's just something I
do. That's why the ungodly came up with the old thing, you can't mix religion and politics. I said, oh, they need mixing and shaking up and tamped down and running
just
over.
Just like schools and
that's God. Why we're in the mess we're in right
no
now.
Doubt. But you said, what would they do? What would you do if they burned the buildings and declared war? You know, you started off in 2 Timothy. Paul's writing this. He's chained up.
Yeah.
I mean, they literally have him chained.
And he said, we're good to go here.
Yeah. He's like, you can't chain the word of God. But at the end of 2 Timothy 4, he said these words, and this is what I would do because he had the idea. He says, this is 4:17, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, that all the Gentiles may hear it, which that we're in the Gentile category, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth. And then this phrase, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. I mean, I don't just read that. I believe it.
I do too.
So if somebody says, we're going to declare war on you, and you may lose your life.
Yeah, we'll shut you up.
Yeah. Okay. Go for it.
Not going to happen.
They tried that with Stephen in the book of Acts, and they did shut Stephen up, and the fierce persecution broke out against the church. And what happened is they ended up scattering the church to Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. They couldn't stop it. But the thing they thought was going to stamp it out actually spread it like embers from a wildfire. I think about the greatest revival in the world right now is going on in Iran. And I couldn't tell you one church, one Christian leader there, but yet somehow the Spirit of God is moving in an area that you would never think possible, and people are coming to Jesus left and right. Same thing happened in China. So, you know, I'm not saying that I'm wishing persecution so that the kingdom can grow, but what I am saying is that God's kingdom, even in the most tyrannical regimes, not only is it not stamped out, that's actually the place where the kingdom's thriving the most.
Yep.
So that's just interesting. I find comfort in that. I really do. So I'm going to
admonish my fellow Americans and the ones who are listening here. Hey, just do this. I'll make it real. This is real complex. Do your job. Do your job.
Hang on, Cole.
Whatever you were called to do, do it.
So doing your job, this is exactly what it is. And in fact, you know, we talked about this some last year. One of our One Kingdom ministries was, you know, these people are fleeing Syria, Iran, all these, you know, tyranny, and they're going through Athens, Greece. And so some of our brothers, you know, just sat up there and said, you know, we're going to minister to these Muslims that are fleeing other Muslims. So because of that ministry, a guy named Larry Bowles, they started beaming back in, which is exactly what Zach was talking about, back into Iran. Now, look, this is at risk of life because you talk about I mean, these people kill you in a heartbeat. It's illegal to talk about Christianity. And yet they're just beaming back in saying, you know what? We're followers of Jesus. This is all we know. And so they're converting a lot of people, and Zach is right. So that's why it's unstoppable.
When we were in the Ukraine, those soldiers would come down and declare, you know, no Christianity or whatever, and they just made a show, a spectacle. They were I didn't know what they were saying because I couldn't understand them. So then it was like as soon as they left, I mean, literally out of earshot, it was like we were having the Bible talks in the dorms.
Yeah.
It was like, okay,
Now, there was no stopping or what. It was just a threat. And I think in the end, that's what this becomes when you're worried about being canceled or somebody downing you on Facebook. And they're like, oh, but, you know, we may not have the internet and this is where we make our move. And I make moves for Jesus.
Fear is a dangerous thing.
Yeah.
If I'm going to go down, I want to go down for the name of Jesus.
Oh, that's right. I mean, you think about purpose in life. You think about the grace. You know, people want to bring people together. There's more in this Bible about bringing all walks of race and the sexes together than any place I know of on the planet.
Yep.
That makes sense. I mean, you read Galatians 3. We always go back to that. But, I mean, there's no male, there's no female, there's no Jew, there's no Gentile, there's
God,
no class.
God does not show favoritism.
Doesn't show favoritism. That's what everybody's after. In the name of even the far left, they're like, if we could just all be the same and one in the perfect energy of life. I'm like, we have that.
That's right.
We have it.
Well, and what you don't want to do is, Zach said this earlier, what's happened is leftism, socialism, whatever this current brand is, it is their religion.
Yeah.
These people worship it.
Oh, yeah.
And why do you think that is?
Well, because
what
they
are they getting?
Because they don't have God, so you're always searching. You know, we're made in the image of God.
But let's get that. What's their top five benefits? I mean, because I just spit out ours. Grace.
Yeah, I think it's one benefit.
What?
It's not a benefit. It's a curse, but they think it's a benefit. But I'll say this.
Educate me. I just want to know.
It's the same thing on the right. The people who worship.
Well, that was the point I wanted to make. You don't want nationalism to become your religion.
But what are they? No, what are they selling? What are the benefits?
There's the same thing that they were selling in the Garden of Eden. The God's holding out on you, and He doesn't want you to know what He does. They're worshiping themselves. It's the Romans 1. It's humanism. It's just I'm beginning with. Humanism packaged in two different ways. And when I say humanism, I mean that's when we begin with ourselves to make meaning of the world. Mm-hmm. And that's what both of these sides are doing. One side is saying that I get my identity from the collective whatever of the people. And the other side is saying, no, my identity comes from the way I grew up or the way things used to be or the fact that I'm an American. Well, the only thing that doesn't change, I think somebody read this earlier, is God Himself. Mm-hmm. Everything else is going to change. So if I'm worshiping all these systems and I'm worshiping these, that's not for God's people. It's just humanism.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, because what, you know, the reason I asked that question is like I was really shocked at the way the left is attacking Trump now. I mean, they won. Yeah. He's only going to be in office just a few more days. And I thought, why don't you just wait? You've won. Now let's do whatever your agenda is. But no, they're just viciously attacking him now. We're going to impeach him. We're everywhere we go, we're talking. I'm like, well, weren't these the same people that said, you know, Trump's all about him and he wants to dominate the news coverage? And so when you won, all that I've seen is an attack on Trump, which made me think, what exactly are you for? You know, you're going to do what now that you've won?
Well, if you could force yourself without, you know, cutting out your own eyeballs to go back and watch every speech that Biden has made since he created an office of the president of elect. I never heard of that before, but he's created it, signs up behind him. Every speech has been like a criticism of Trump.
That's all I've heard.
You said you won. Okay. Well, so start acting like he won. I mean, every speech is an attack on Trump.
That
dividing race.
We're going to get on the coronavirus. But I'm like, well, by the time you get to be the actual president, most of the people at this rate are going to have a vaccine shot. So I'm like, we got that. That's what we're running on.
But here's the deal. When you build any movement on division, then all you can ever talk about is things that divide.
That's true.
And we're in a culture
I'm starting to see. I think that's a good point.
But it's both sides because like I said, as I said earlier, the foundation is rot. We don't have a progressive thing to build from, and I don't mean progressive as in liberal. I mean something that's that moves things forward, because we're not building on the Imago Dei. We're not building on a high view of humanity. We're actually building on a very low view of humanity that says we're nothing more than material that randomly occurred. And so because of that, everybody is building their case on how pissed off they can get the other side at how
that's
how
what it seems like. Yeah. That's yeah, why they say we're a divided country. Well, okay. Yeah. But so I was trying to figure out exactly what their side is for.
Well, you look at it, how could you be not more divided? I mean, Congress is split right down the middle, pretty much. I mean, there's a small majority in the House. Senate's right down the middle. The vote was down, we're down to counting handfuls of votes. I mean, there were people that won by 6, 8, 12 votes in this last. I mean, it could not be more divided than it is right now, except maybe the Civil War, obviously, because.
But Zach's saying it's on both sides, so maybe we should introduce the Christian Party, you know, just a thought.
The Christian Party.
Why not? It's never been done before. I think you could do it.
I think the politics is downstream of culture. So if the church acts as the church, if the church does what the church is supposed to do, then you don't have these things that societies advance. When the church abdicates her responsibility to seek and save the lost, like by sharing the blood of Jesus with people, like when we're not doing that, when we're being partisan in our own lives and we're buying into things that we know really aren't true, but we're committed to them because we want them to be true. Mm. Like when we're not showing the manifold wisdom of God, I mean, we're the light of the world. Jesus chose us to bring his light into the world. And if we're not doing that as a church, there's just no shortcut.
Yeah.
Everybody wants a shortcut.
But you could get around the fact, because they're like, well, you got to have separation of church and state. And I'd be like, that's fine. I just want to unite Jesus and state policies. Mm-hmm. There's a difference.
Well, that's right. And that's our responsibility, Zach's right, to be salt, to be light. I mean, that's what mm-hmm. we do, individually or otherwise. So I guess next time we get together, it really is a pretty good shift back to what we're talking about in Acts, because these folks were under much more severe persecution. They went into it wide open. As we get into Acts 3 and Acts 4, you're going to see that begin to ramp up.
Yeah.
And then by the time you get over to, like Zach was talking about in Acts 8, you're seeing people murdered, you know, for speaking truth, but at the same time, it was unstoppable. I mean, all that did was fan it out, which is going to be the same with us.
I think to draw the parallel to what's going on here today, because I've quoted Acts 1 the last week several times, Jesus, right before he leaves, he spoke about the kingdom of God. He showed many convincing proofs that he was alive. He spoke about the kingdom of God, and they said, oh, are you now going to restore the kingdom to Israel?
They're thinking politics.
Are we? So now, even today, people are telling me, oh, you know, this is the signs. You know, there's things going on in Israel. There's things going on in America. And I'm like, we're the new Jerusalem. We're the new Israel. This is about who? The kingdom of heaven. It's us. We're the ones stirring these things.
Well, you remember what
read Acts 1.
When they asked him about time, he said, it's not up to you. You don't need to worry about that.
Well, they thought he was going to go by force.
That's right.
I hope I'm able to say, when my time comes, and y'all should be the same, I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come, the Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy. Last few verses.
While chained up.
Yeah, while chained up. Now the time has come for my departure, not my dying, being beheaded and die a brutal death, for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, because of that, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge of all men, I'd add, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Well, fast forward 2,000 years, and we're still waiting on the appearing of Jesus, and the home of righteousness finally comes, Al, and we're like, whoo, I'm glad I didn't get too deep into man-made politics.
That's exactly right.
This is worth it here.
I can't think of a better final take. That's perfect. So, Zach, good to have you on today with the four of us. Be sure and hold down the kingdom up there in the liberal land you live in.
I'll work on it.
Zach, I know you're a good boy because your mama was my sister, and she still is, and she's departed. So we're next, my man.
Amen. Good word. Thank you, guys. Good seeing y'all.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.